Our King is crucified. Beloved friends in healthcare and in all areas of life, we greet you in the name of Jesus on this Good Friday. I join Isaac Watts in singing, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save or except in the cross of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his name." And as the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world." Most of us would have already been to church and been blessed by the services and heard many messages. So I do not want to add to this, dear friends. But just to conclude our series, our journey to the cross in the last 21 days, and to share an outline that I learned from listening to a sermon that so moved me late last night. We are going to read from John chapter 19, verse 12 to 16. But before that reading, may I just mention one or two things about John chapter 18 and 19, and then we will read. John chapter 18 and 19 are two deeply moving chapters in the Bible, moving us to the crucifixion. And Sinclair Ferguson says that the Holy Spirit through John paints two amazing pictures for us. In chapter 18, he paints shadows and darkness, deepening darkness. And yet in the midst of these shadows and deepening darkness, here and there, the light of Jesus shines forth. The darkness actually accentuating the light. John calls, at least Ferguson calls John the Rembrandt of the Gospels, because it is said that Rembrandt in his paintings used these shadows and darkness in order to accentuate the light in his pictures. I know it so for the prodigal son picture. But in 18 verse 28 till the end of chapter 19, John paints another picture for us. He repeats a word 10 times. King, 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 King. We can't miss it. Are you the King? You are a King then. Do you want me to crucify your King? And so on. And the focus in John chapter 19 then is on our King Messiah being crucified. And as Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 52, 53, "The kings of the earth will shut their mouths when they see this startling king who suffered, when they see what was accomplished through weakness and self-giving sacrificial love. He will sprinkle all nations." So shall we read now from John chapter 19, verse 12. "From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, 'If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar.' When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out, sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement." It is almost paradoxical that Pilate was trying Jesus, but it seems as if Jesus, Pilate was on trial and Jesus was trying Pilate. "It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. 'Here is your king,' Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, 'Take him away, take him away, crucify him.' 'Shall I crucify your king?' Pilate asked. 'We have no king but Caesar,' the chief priest answered. And Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified." Our Father on this Good Friday, we want to gaze at our King Jesus and the crucifixion and ask that you would melt our hearts so that we can give ourselves more fully to you this Good Friday than we have ever done in our life before. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's the outline that I learned from this sermon. Chapter 19, verse 1 to 16. The mocking of the king. Jesus was flogged, mocked, slapped, spit upon, made fun of by Pilate's soldiers, by the chief priests and high priests, their servants, and even by the public, by the words they spoke, the things they did to him. Yet his poise and peace are so priceless and precious. He received all this in himself because he was substituting for us and receiving the mockery, the shame, the spitting that we ourselves deserved. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And then, dear friends, from verse 17 to 22, we see a paradoxical proclamation of the King. One almost smiles when you read this. In order to spite the Jews, Pilate, he was giving in to their demands, but he wrote in all three main languages, Latin, the Roman language, Greek, the international language, Aramaic, Hebrew, the religious language, in bold capitals, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The religious leaders objected and said, right, he said that he was the King of the Jews. But Pilate said, no, what I have written, I have written. He had had enough of their nonsense. And so this inscription was there over Jesus. And Jesus was crucified at a roadway, pathway where everyone walked that way. Everyone saw it. He is the King of the Jews. What a proclamation. And Jesus said it himself a few chapters earlier. If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself, referring to his cross. All nations would come when he is lifted up on the cross. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Verse 23 and 24, we read the disrobing of the king. The proclamation of the king, the disrobing of the king. And we need to talk in hushed tones here, dear friends. It is so sad that these soldiers, to whom crucifixion was just another routine procedure, at the place of crucifixion, they disrobed him. And either he was made totally naked or almost near naked. What indignity, what shame, what stripping. He had emptied himself of all but love. Now he was emptied of his dignity. Yet praise God, in that glorious divine exchange, he exchanged our nakedness and he took it on himself. And he gave us garments, holy garments, dignified garments of salvation, righteousness, and grace. Hallelujah! What a Savior! He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. And this matter was also predicted in Psalm 22, where it says, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. And then verse 25 to 26, he acts like a king and he deals so tenderly with his mother Mary under the cross. He reaches out to her in her sorrow. He does not call her Mary or mother, but he calls her woman. And he tells a woman, your son, and to John, your mother. And here under the cross, Jesus, acting like a king, he's in control, forming a new family fellowship under the cross, the seeds of the New Testament church. He's caring for her. He did not just use her body for him to come into this world. He loved her and saw to her needs, and also gently showing her, pointing her, that dear mother or dear woman, from now on, the relationship between you and me is changed. I love you dearly, but you need me more now as a savior than as a son. And John embraced the responsibility. And 28 to 37, he dies like a king. He bowed his head and gave up his life. He chose the time of his departure, when the 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the evening sacrifice was being offered, and some say the Passover lambs were being prepared for the sacrifice. And he cried out, Tetelestai, that great jubilee trumpet blast. It is finished. And mighty power was released at that very moment. Done, accomplished, finished. His death was not a defeat. He died as a king. And finally, verse 38 to 42, he was buried like a king. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both from the Sanhedrin, they were disciples, but for fear of the Jews, they never made it known. But now they couldn't care less. They risked their lives and reputation and everything, and gave him a wonderful, tender, royal, dignified funeral and burial. What a sight! Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, Mary Magdalene. A tender burial. And it is reported in the Bible that Nicodemus brought 100 pounds of this sacred mixture of myrrh and aloes to anoint the body of Jesus. Taking Jesus' body, they wrapped him in spices, in these strips. 100 pounds is lavish. Sinclair Ferguson says that at Gamaliel's burial, they used 75 pounds. That's a huge amount of burial perfumes. And they said, we are doing it for Gamaliel because he is worth better to us than 100 kings. And Nicodemus was almost doing what Mary of Bethany did, pouring out her alabaster treasure. Nicodemus was pouring out this treasure to anoint, get ready Jesus' body for burial. Friends, have we been secret disciples? May the Lord release us this Good Friday, like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, that we too might come and pour all that we have at his feet. Give extraordinary, extravagant gifts to him for the future. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even the cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Or shall we join Isaac Watts and sing? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, shall have my life, my soul, my all. And so, beloved, let's spend Saturday quietly, silently, seekingly, searchingly, and get ready to join in the great hallelujah that Jesus Christ is risen, as Jesus Christ breaks the silence of the tomb and comes forth. In Jesus' name, God bless you all with much love.